Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's August 3rd, 2011. We are live in some crazy times, and there are so many things to talk about tonight. I have two great guests and a great program for you tonight. Let's start off with, as always, James Evan Pilato. It's the first Wednesday of the month. We bring James on to talk about all sorts of stuff, and boy, are there a lot of news stories to cover. James, welcome as always. It's great to have you.
It's great to be on, man. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. So there's so many stories to cover, and obviously we'll talk about the Super Congress and the debt bill that was passed. And in addition to that, and brand new story as of today, James, you may not have seen it yet. They raided another one of those evil terrorist raw farmers, you know, the raw milk providers. It was a co-op of some sort. And folks, I'm very pleased to make the announcement. The FDA and the CDC raided this raw milk provider with guns, and the world is a much safer place. This is a huge victory against Al-Qaeda and terrorism, and you should feel very safe listening to the show tonight, knowing that the raw milk's not out there.
Okay, so is this three accused of illegally producing and selling raw dairy products?
Oh, they kicked the doors down with guns and, you know, the whole mafia-style takeover, making them pour the milk out, throwing away the cheese. It's more of the same. It's more of this Codex Alimentarius sort of Agenda 21 initiative. And the FDA has no oversight. They're just going and raiding farmers selling organic milk or whatever. And at the end of the day, we need to put a stop to this. No matter what way you're looking at it, it's evil to think that we have government bureaucracy raiding people's livelihoods, providing safer products. That's right, I said safer. Pasteurization is a deadly, deadly thing, folks, and is to be avoided. And they're going after these people. And I know, James, we've talked about food, and I know you have some food world order stories for us tonight in addition to this from your website, foodworldorder.com, right?
That's right. You know, and I was going to say in discussing the raid, you said, you know, making them pour the milk out. That immediately brings up to mind the images of the Prohibition era and,
right,
you know, axing open the barrels to, you know, save everyone from, you know, themselves.
Well, we saw that didn't work. And then they got the crazy idea, well, prohibition for alcohol doesn't work, so let's make marijuana and everything else illegal. I mean, what are these people thinking?
Mm-hmm. So, that's the constant thing of the things that are natural and the things that can heal you and the things that you can use as a textile and in all kinds of ways. It's like, oh, that stuff's illegal. But the things, you know, that'll kill yourself and does nothing for you, you know, those, you can have free access to that.
Right, that doesn't matter as much. James, we have several other stories that we're going to get into today from one of your various websites. MediaMonarchy.com, of course, is the hub site for all of your great sites, and we'll get into that. We'll also, next hour, be talking with Charlie McGraw about a lot of different things. We're simulcasting with Rents Radio. It's going to be a first ever attempt at simulcast and a special effort to ring the alarm on what's going on, this total blatant dictatorial takeover. Folks, it's the Bob Tuscan Show. We got to take a quick break, and then when we get back, James Evan Pilato from MediaMonarchy.com, and we'll tell you all the stories we're going to cover in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Folks, one of the things we'll be talking about is this lawsuit from 9/11 survivors against United Airlines. Given the go-ahead, that article is at MediaMonarchy.com. And what are some of the other things we'll be talking about tonight, James?
Well, I just kind of punched up, you know, the breaking story you referenced. U.S. says online child pornography network dismantled. U.S. authorities said on Wednesday they have dismantled an online bulletin board allegedly used by 600 people in the United States and abroad. abroad to trade graphic images and videos. Blah, blah, blah.
We're going to be so much safer now, James. I really feel like...
When we find out how many of those people are feds and work for the TSA or work
Very good point.
EA or, yeah, God knows what.
Don't worry, though. The conspiracy of silence is prevalent.
That's true.
The Boys Town folks, well, they're untouchable. They're allowed to molest little children and, under national security, give havens to child molesters, multi-generational molesters, because, well, it's in the name of national security and it's done for an MKUltra type program.
You know, and I hadn't really maybe thought about it or put it together just yet, but there definitely has been the wave of the tabloid news stories of, you know, missing kids. I mean, ever since the, you know, the Casey Anthony thing, just of like kids going missing or kids being murdered have been a lot of the big stories lately, it seems.
Yeah, we've been covering that on the show actually quite a bit. I was on Truth Frequency the other night talking about that. I did an article entitled The Casey Anthony Distraction. Let me see if I can pull it up here. And then the major point I made was that although we see the media obsessing about this one or two children each, you know, each year they have, or each couple months they have a different story.
Because we're already, I've noticed they're already off on a new one.
From the New Hampshire, right.
Yeah.
And I pointed out that they always follow the same pattern. First, we hear in the news about this child that's missing. Then we hear in the news that there's a possible match of a body found. Then we hear in the news the next step, which is that it was the body found. Then we see the accusations come out. Then we see somebody actually being tried. I mean, it's the same sort of progression over that one or two kids, whether it's Natalie Holloway, who they spent years on obsessing about Natalie Holloway. I mean, that's still big news. The Nancy Graces and the...
And the whole way the phone hacking story kind of came out, or at least my kind of grasp of it, was that it swirled around a missing and murdered kid in the UK.
Interesting.
That a lot of it kind of grew out of that story when they discovered that, you know, they had hacked into Millie Fowler's phone and actually even deleted messages to make room for someone else to call and possibly leave clues or contacts or something. Just unbelievable. Had we discussed the phone hacking situation the last time?
I think we did bring it up. And, you know, as long as we can distract people from the 800,000 children younger than 18 missing each year, an average of 2,000 children reported missing each day, that statistic from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, as long as we can distract from that and the true nature of these satanic criminals, well, they'll let us talk about that one or two missing children all day long. They want us to get distracted. And when it comes to the phone hacking scandal, they want us to talk about the fact that Murdoch was hit with a pie in the face rather than what's really going on. And there's word that that whole pie in the face incident was actually staged.
I feel like the last thing I saw was something about that guy got, you know, 6 weeks in.
Yeah, he got some jail time, supposedly, but, you know, so what?
So the 9/11 connection to the phone hacking story I find really interesting, and I'm hopeful that any kind of move or any kind of light shed on that area could hopefully, you know, let us find out more about 9/11, which, I mean, we're now just over a month away from the 10th anniversary, and I know we've discussed time after time probably that, you know, 9/11 was our sort of awakening to what has really been going on, or call it alternative history or alternative news or whatever, that we still are finding things out. And if things could come from this, you know, any kind of phone hacking inquiry into 9/11 victims, you know, if it brings up the story about the phone calls on 9/11, which this story I have posted that you referenced, this basically last 9/11 victims' families lawsuit that's going forward, that's been given the go-ahead. This discusses, you know, the phone calls, all the alleged phone calls.
Hi, Mom. This is Bob Tuscan of BobTuscan.com. There are some hijackers taking down the plane.
You believe me, don't you?
You believe me, don't you?
Exactly, because you always call your mom and say, yeah, hi, I'm James Pilato.
Yeah. Now, let me give you my social security too, Mom, in case that's not enough.
So hopefully that, you know, I guess I'm hopeful that any kind of inquiry, even if it's small, but, you know, any kind of amount of information, you know, that we can grab is important. So one thing to mention, as long as we, I want to discuss quickly this article. In the 10 years since 9/11, thousands of survivors have settled their lawsuits against the airlines and other parties and collected awards totaling billions of dollars. But one family has held out so it can have its day in court, and that time is finally approaching. The plaintiff is the mother of Mark Bavis, it's B-A-V-I-S, one of the passengers aboard Flight 175, the second plane to strike the World Trade Center. She's suing United Airlines and Huntley USA, the security company that screened passengers at Logan International in Boston, where the flight originated. So when you click through, and I added a lot of the links to historycommons.org and their complete 9/11 timeline, which is such an invaluable resource, I think. It's a great place to send other folks interested in trying to do research, because it doesn't draw conclusions for you. Are you familiar with that timeline?
No, I'm not. Is that the official timeline?
No, this is sort of an independent... Paul Thompson put it together. It's been referred to as the terror timeline before, but it's this online, you know, database, and it is open source, and people can, I believe, recommend and make edits and updates and things. It's just a database and sort of a, you know... I can't think of the word. That basically, all the links are interconnected, and so you can expand... or pull into any kind of area you want, and it'll show you the related things. So if you go and look at the alleged phone calls, you can go into just the specifics about, you know, Betty Ong and all the, you know, Barbara Olson and all of that, or you can then pull out and say, okay, the flights and the calls that came from 175, let's look more at 175. It's a really, I highly recommend it. I'll throw the link to you, the complete 9/11 timeline.
Very interesting. We'll also post a link in the chat room for all of our listeners following the show.
The Huntley USA, the security company, they trace back to their one of the Israeli security companies.
Oh, don't be anti-Semitic now, James. I mean, this is a very Hasidic Jewish show. We can't have any anti-Semitism here.
But it's... when you, and again, I didn't go get that from some crazy conspiracy site. It's, you know, I clicked through on the timeline, and everything they have is sourced and documented, whether it's to whatever news agency, whatever witness, whatever, you know, official 9/11 commission report. That's what's so also great about it, is something like the timeline can show you the discrepancies within the official report.
Sure. When we come back, let's finish our thoughts on that. I also want to talk about this planetary alignment, perhaps, on August 11th. You have to tell me more about that. That one's at cyberspacewar.com. James Evan Palazzo, our special guest tonight on the Bob Tuscan Show. Don't go anywhere. And in the mirror, on midnight eyes. Oh, if I could relate, but it's just a business. On midnight eyes, reflection day. Alrighty, folks, we're going to tell you more about the raw milk provider that was raided today. I mean, this story is just crazy. Wait until you hear the details on this. But first, James, which story would you like to pick it up with? We can talk about the planetary alignment, or we can go just about anywhere. Where would you like to pick it up?
We could just, because I don't think we have to spend a ton of time on this, but one of my main writers and editors on cyberspacewar.com posted this up Sunday, July 31st, and it's sourcing an article and a video posted on newsbad.com, seeing a possible 7.2 earthquake on August 11th because of an Earth, Mercury, Sun, Venus alignment. And there's a video kind of getting into the gravitational waves and heavenly bodies and things. But I, you know, found that kind of interesting, one, because we see so many more kind of Earth events happening, and folks... I believe we discussed this, Bob. Somebody pretty much kind of accurately predicted the 311 earthquake on YouTube, I believe.
Yeah, it was our friend Scott from the Believers Underground, if I'm not mistaken, who comes on the show every Friday, and he's been predicting a lot of these quakes. Or it was Dutch Sense, the other person that we've been talking to, one of those guys, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Well, if it was your friend that's on the show regularly, so yeah, maybe bring this up with him.
Yeah.
But I also find it interesting because August 11th is my birthday.
Well, there you go. That's synchronistic.
But something that is being reported today, I'll kind of tie this in with it, on space.com, solar flare may spark dazzling northern lights display this Friday. So basically there was a CME of solar flare, a coronal mass ejection.
Now, how do we know that's not HARP?
Well,
I mean, isn't HARP supposedly supposed to make these lights go off?
So I can similar see, to well, the, they have photos of powerful M9 class solar flare erupting from the sun at 10:09 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on July 29th, and it's a NASA shot of the sun.
Yeah.
So of course, I mean, it could be faked. Anything and everything on God's green earth could all...
It's all fake. Especially from
no
NASA.
Planes, it's all fake.
We live in the Matrix, folks.
But this is basically predicting that the flare that happened earlier this week will hit the earth Friday, this Friday, August 5th, and, you know, that can cause any kind of things, such as EMP-like effects, and as there's been, you know, more and more talk about, you know, electromagnetic pulse, that would basically put us back to, hopefully not the Stone Age, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to require people to go to caves to be protected from this. What do you think, James? Should we all move to some cave in the Ozarks to protect ourselves?
Maybe not just yet, but...
You know, so there's this
kind of space-related things that, again, we don't spend...
And then they found, not too long ago, we did a story the other day on the show that they found oxygen molecules in space, which I thought was kind of interesting.
And with, you know, discussing this planetary alignment, there's also all the discussion about the comet Elenin coming in.
Elenin, yeah.
And other meteors.
What's your take on that? Because I don't think we have talked about Elenin explicitly. I get people on both sides of the spectrum. If you talk about Elenin, you're a fear-mongering shill. If you don't talk about Elenin, you're somehow distracting from the fact that we're all going to die.
I have to honestly say, I haven't looked tons into it. It's just one of, you know, in doing all the different stories for all the different sites, it's right. Unfortunately, sometimes it's one of those stories, it's like, I'm aware of it. And I even, you know, brought it up with folks sometimes.
For me, it's hard to find the motivation because, yeah, I would want to know if that's the case. But really, am I going to be, is me spending my time and energy going to do anything? If it's such a drastic, you know, apocalypse, then I guess I should just continue to spend time worrying about the things that are making my life better here and now.
Exactly. So whether that's Comet Elenin or the Herald Camping Rapture or any of those, it's like, well, what are you going to do about it anyway?
I wish the rapture would be true already. I mean, I would love to see that. And Obama, could you imagine if Obama was the true savior and it's like, I've been here the whole time. Harold, here I am. I don't think they're Obama fans. Anyways, let's move on to Food World Order. And we'll talk about the rate of the raw milk provider in Los Angeles, I believe. But first, let's go to a story on foodworldorder.com. And this is food banks across the country hit by hunger thieves. Salvation Army's food pantry almost empty.
So... There were two stories that I feel like I saw at the kind of at the same time, but they're at opposite ends of the country. So this first story, Salvation Army's food pantry almost empty, is a local regional report from South Carolina. It's from the Rocky Mount Telegram. And then the second story is in Washington State. So the headline of the Post, food banks across the country hit by hunger, comma, thieves, I guess was just my way of sort of crafting that, you know, classic newspaper-sounding headline where everything's kind of truncated. But I like, yeah, hunger thieves put together is, again, I think kind of a powerful meme. But the story coming out of South Carolina is basically about how food is in short supply at the area's Salvation Army pantries and how much things have gone up and up and up and the demand and the families and everything. And then the story in Washington is about thieves hitting up food bank, stealing stuff, which basically just hurts everybody else who is already in trouble. And I just found those two stories, you know, that, like I said, I kind of saw them at the same time, but from different parts of the country in a way. It was like, well, you can connect those dots.
Yeah. Well, the food world orders stories continue to take up a lot of the focus here. As you know, we were talking a lot about the activists being arrested in Orlando for feeding the hungry.
That's right.
You know, and
that story still rages on, and I think the protests and the demonstrations and things have only kind of increased, right?
Yes, as far as I know, people are still being arrested. I had a local activist here from Gainesville actually go down there and get arrested. So even though there's an abundance, we see the state mandating farmers destroy their crops, mandating that people only be allowed to donate essentially so much food.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this as a part of, again, this Agenda 21 Codex Alimentarius sort of deal.
Yep. There was a great piece on farmwars.info, and I did have the chance several months ago to interview Barbara Peterson, who runs Farm Wars, and she's actually based in Oregon as well, but she's got a great post about, and I can't remember the full title of it, but it's basically the, you know, the Monsanto Nazi Agenda 21 United Nations Codex Alimentarius connection. It basically charts, it's like, this guy came from here, he was a Nazi, he got on the UN, he started to do the Codex Alimentarius, and it's like, oh, and then connected to Monsanto. Like, it fairly simply kind of lays it all out and makes you, again, kind of cringe, to say the least.
Well, as always, I try to get my listeners to not be dependent on the powers that shouldn't be for their food, you know, and take steps to gain your own independence, your own food supply. You know, that's why we talk about growing a garden and that kind of thing so much, because that's the only response. But go ahead.
Sorry. No, you ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, but don't worry. Yeah, you'll be arrested for growing a garden and collecting rainwater. Yeah, exactly.
I was going to just quickly mention this story just is, you know, a few hours ago on the fantastic naturalnews.com. Multi-agency armed raid hits Rawsome Foods, healthy family farms for selling raw milk and cheese.
Yeah, a massive public protest announced against this, and we definitely will be covering this after a quick break, and then we'll get back into this story because you're not going to want to miss it. Folks, it's the Bob Tuscan Show. Special guest, James Evan Pilato, MediaMonarchy.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Officers who brutally beat my son to death. The only thing we have left of our son is the blood in the gutter. That's all we have left.
Welcome to America.
Listening to right now, folks, is the...
Where it's a crime to eat organic food.
Yeah, that's right. It's the video footage of the folks being arrested. If you could see this right now, do a quick YouTube search. These are armed agents.
What's the charge?
Some of them have police tags, or it seems they're Los Angeles police. And it was the Los Angeles police, FDA, CDC, all involved with a joint task force to get rid of these absolutely evil Satanist raw milk providers. Sharon Palmer was the culprit, the terrorist, and she was guilty of the crime of falsely labeling cheese. I repeat, she falsely labeled cheese. And the world is a lot safer place. The SWAT-style raid was conducted by a terrorist operation. I repeat, a terrorist operation where the cops, and that part's not a joke, it really was conducted by a terrorist operation where the cops immediately went after Rawsome's Cash, which is the name of this popular raw food provider. James, I mean, it's almost unbelievable to hear stories like this. Growing up with when you thought, you know, the world was one way, and now we see story after story, left and right, about this sort of total encroachment of our rights and total.
I was going to say, you know, it's a conspiracy like they're being charged with. It's so here's an update, at least a positive update. A massive public protest is now being announced to give the members of the public an opportunity to voice their outrage against today's arrest of three raw foods advocates who are all being charged with conspiracy. So yeah, that's the term that when you want to
raw milk conspiracy.
Want to shut down debate, you know, oh, I don't believe in conspiracy theories, that kind of new pejorative phrase that's meant to shut something down. But when you look at what most major charges are in the court systems, it's for conspiracy. So they try and tell us on the one hand it doesn't exist. And then on the other hand, yes, it does exist and we're saving you from it.
Yeah, well, all the major alternative media outlets are all upset about this. You know, it's interesting to me because at the end of the day, as much as I tell my listeners to get independent, you know, to get their own food supply, to not put the poisons in their body, the powers that shouldn't be in this police state takeover continue to come after that. It's like everything I tell my listeners to do, even though I consider it to be positive and a way out, they continue to come after. And when I say they, I just mean bureaucracy in general and just this.
Dogs.
Yeah.
I don't know if I often use this or make this connection or analogy or whatever you want to call it, media reference, but in Soylent Green, and if this is appropriate too, since that's all about food. Have you seen that movie? Have we talked about this before?
Yeah, I think we've talked about it. I haven't actually seen that movie, which I probably should after.
But it's basically a bleak future where everybody's into overcrowded, you know, crammed into overcrowded cities and food is, you know, portioned out. And yeah, you find out Soylent Green is made of people, which that's a whole other interesting avenue to take it down. But Charlton Heston basically plays someone with a little bit of power. He works for the state and goes around and, you know, and investigates, but he's able to throw his weight around and steal stuff from people's apartments when he's in there, and, you know, because everyone's out to get for them, that it's coming to that point where the only jobs will be some little sniveling snitch for the state, and you get to, you know, pull your belt buckle up and feel like you've got a little bit of power, and you can throw it around the other plebs. So that's the TSA people now. Groping and molesting us, and it's everybody getting their little tiny power trip by suckling at the teat of the police state.
The teat for the raw milk.
Ah, that was not intentional, but
I didn't think so.
It is.
Well, it's in other news, it's National Breastfeeding Week.
Is it really?
Yeah, how ironic.
See, and that's, I'm surprised they don't, you know, really launch some, you know, anti-breastfeeding, you know, since it's a natural thing and everything
right.
They seek to destroy are the things that are natural.
Can you imagine a world where parents are taken away and their children taken away from them breastfeeding? Be on the lookout, folks. If you know of somebody breastfeeding their child, call us at 1-800-BIG-BROTHER. I mean, can you imagine?
Well, in a way, we can, because we've kind of seen, you know, we've seen the predictive programming or the warnings in media and film and television and all those things. So we can imagine it because we've seen those kind of stories.
True.
Wasn't it Mel Gibson that was in some older commercial about milk where the cops raid the house and the SWAT teams all bust in and they point all their guns and Mel Gibson's at the fridge and turns around and says, "Relax, fellas, it's just milk."
Interesting. Predictive programming.
Yeah. We'll have to look that up. I forget, because I think it was a commercial for sort of raw foods and milks.
Huh. Very interesting. Well, it's
so we've often discussed, and hoped and wished that, you know, Portland, Oregon, where I am and in the Pacific Northwest, is hopefully well suited to weather, you know, whatever may be coming.
Well, you guys are weird up there, so you guys can handle it.
we keep it weird. And that's easy to do when you see constant bizarre sex scandals coming out of Oregon. I don't know if you covered at all the David Wu story last week.
No, tell us about that. I don't think we got a chance to get into that.
This was Oregon representative announces resignation after sexual misconduct allegations. So from our own Oregonian, Representative David Wu, and that's W-U, announced his resignation from Congress moments after Oregon Senators Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden called for his resignation. So basically, once the dudes in his party in Oregon said, dude, you got to go, he was done. The Democrat said in a statement that he would leave office after Congress resolves the debt ceiling crisis. The latest I saw on this is that, okay, they're like, we've resolved the crisis, which that's a whole other discussion, Bob. But that David Wu hasn't actually resigned yet. So now there's pressure growing on him where it's like, all right, man, you said you were going to resign the minute, you know, the debt deal was passed. But basically, he's been accused of, you know, sexual misconduct against like a family friend and a donor to his campaign. And their 18-year-old daughter apparently finally, you know, dropped a dime on something that allegedly happened last year. Something that also happened last year was photos of this guy, David Wu, that came out in the local media of him dressed up in a tiger or a tiger costume.
Yeah, you got to see this. The picture is up at James' website. Which site is it on?
It's on Media Monarchy.
Okay, it's on MediaMonarchy.com. So
you can imagine.
It's bizarre to see him in this costume. I mean, do you think that's a pedophile type thing, or what do you think that means?
I don't know, and definitely folks have speculated that it's like, oh, that's some kind of crazy MK, you know, he's cracked, basically. And a bunch of his staffers several months ago all quit, even after he ran a, you know, successful, you know, congressional campaign last fall and was elected. All of his staff immediately kind of quit and basically put out a statement saying, this guy needs help, and, you know, we're his meds. And so it's just another kind of sad, embarrassing situation. I guess I can fortunately say I didn't vote for this guy because he's not actually over my district. So my representative in Oregon is a guy named Earl Blumenauer. He's kind of a nerdy guy that wears a bow tie.
Yes, I know him very well because Delia Lopez ran against him.
Uh-huh.
And Delia's a friend of mine, and we did a lot of work for her campaign. Yes. And he stole that election.
Huh.
He 100% stole that election. And unfortunately, I don't think she had enough money to actually fight for it. Because once they steal the election, they tax you again and make the people, in order to stand up for the election fraud, you know, they...
I didn't know that you were connected to Delia Lopez. We'll have to talk about that sometime. But what came then right on the heels of David Wu's, you know, impending resignation is that our own mayor announces he's not going to run for re-election. He is one also that that's kind of his whole... you know, mayoral term has kind of been fraught with, you know, the city politics and all kinds of things, mostly building off of, I mean, Bob, we had to be the only city in the country that on the historical Obama inaugural day on January 20th, of course, TV, you know, running 24/7 coverage of all of that. We had to be the only city in the country that interrupted the coverage to note that our mayor had been ensnared in a sex scandal.
Well, I'm glad they let us know. Urgent news, folks. Hey, when we get back, we'll
just
finish. Anyways, when we get back, we'll finish things off with James Evan Palazzo, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Create a 12-member bipartisan committee, one of which we spoke moments ago, that would reportedly identify an additional $1.5 trillion in deficit cuts. I'd like to be on that team. He would then present the recommendations to Congress, where the House and Senate would be allowed to vote only yes or no, a straight up and down vote, no ability to propose changes or any of the rest. Fox News senior judicial analyst Judge Andrew Napolitano says this might not be constitutional. He's here now. How so, Judge?
Well, because members of the Senate and members of the House have the opportunity under the Constitution to debate items that are sent to them and to modify items that are sent to them, to force them to vote just yes or no with no debate, not to follow the rules of the House.
Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Super Congress on the Bob Tuscan Show with special guest James Evan Pilato. James, the Super Congress, pretty scary stuff, huh?
Absolutely. So this idea, you know, it's all in the imagery and the memes, I think, sometimes. But so basically, Obamaside gets to be the Jesus to this, you know, 12 disciple Super Congress, essentially.
Well, he's our savior. I mean, come on now.
Member, you know, he's the man that, you know, over the two different sides of the fake political paradigm. I have fortunately already seen discussions about the illegality of this Super Congress. So hopefully folks are already getting ready to file lawsuits and countermeasures. But, you know, that's on so many levels, it's so difficult because we're able to kind of fight on something and maybe make some progress, but they keep coming and wear us down, essentially. So what we're basically talking about, Obama signs a debt limit deal after a nasty fight. And, yeah, like Hulk Hogan and the Junkyard Dog had a nasty fight. It's all a big show. And this is just seemingly another kind of mirror of the TARP, the original bankster bailout of 2008, in the seamless transition of Bush to Obama and the threats and the banksters and the bailouts. And it was just one kind of smooth operation. President Obama signed a hard-fought, last-minute compromise bill to avert economic catastrophe Tuesday, saying the deal to cut spending and increase the nation's $14.3 trillion debt limit marked an important first step to ensuring that as a nation, we live within our means.
Now, on the left and right, James, of this false left-right paradigm, people are upset about this. On the right, they say, well, this is unconstitutional, even though that's only scratching the surface. That's an understatement. So Judge Napolitano, in that clip we played, you know, asked whether or not this could be unconstitutional. He thinks it is. Oh, come on now. Let's get with it. Anyways.
Be far beyond unconstitutional.
Right? I mean, come on. So that's silly. And then on the left, they're saying, oh, well, Obama was held hostage by the GOP. He was forced to do this. He was, you know, so people, when they're stuck in that left-right paradigm, it is a very dangerous thing, especially when you're looking at stories of importance like this whole debt ceiling discussion, because they only can see it through those eyes, and they don't see the bigger picture here.
Oh. And for me, one of the stories I tried to point out to folks as the hype and the psychological operation was building over the last, you know, several weeks, but especially over the previous week or so, was the story that broke saying, you know, that Obama was basically having backroom chatter with banksters saying, yeah, no, don't worry, we're not going to default. Basically, you know, telling his buddies, it's like, okay, it's just, you know, it's a show. Don't worry. This is all. It's the shell game. It's the show. They're the shadows on the wall.
Sure. It's like the dog and pony show, you know. It's mm-hmm. the same sort of thing. And we reported, I don't know if you heard this story. Yeah, this might be one for Holy Hexes. Obama was actually praying with religious scholars about the debt deal a couple weeks ago. What was that, last week? He was praying about it, James.
Because, you know, just like George Bush, he's a good, you know, he's a good Christian guy.
God bless you.
As long as you just mentioned holyhexes.com, I do have an article over there about the Air Force pulling their Christian-themed ethics training for nuclear officers, basically after the information and PowerPoint presentation leaked out that they're teaching, you know, St. Augustine and the just war theory, the Christian just war theory, as in a justified war. Stuff from the Old Testament, New Testament's quotes from ex-SS officers, and this only, you know, got stopped because the story got broken and the news leaked out. So there is definitely there is the echoes loudly of the Crusades. We're coming up on some kind of massive, ridiculous holy war. And that's the, you know, the Islamophobia or Chrislam. Have you heard that term?
No, does that refer to the zealot Christians?
Well, sort of the Christians that are, you know, being accused of appeasing Islam and letting them, you know, come speak at the church and, you know, we can actually work together in things that the more staunch, you know, evangelicals are basically saying, no, we can't go along with this. You know, they've coined it Chrislam, meaning that it's like a watered down. Right. And in a way, they're onto something, that it could be that watered down thing, basically leading us to some kind of one world religion.
Where's Pastor Terry Jones when we need him?
Oh, I'm sure he's ready to pop back up with the anniversary of 9/11.
Yes, I would love to see him pop back up, because the last time he was in the news distracting millions, we raided his press conference with a giant 9/11 truth sign behind him and had Chris Matthews interrupt the broadcast to point out that the controlled demolition school of thought was present. So there you go.
That's fascinating.
So, I was so happy to hear that Nutcase was here so that I could go down there with the media frenzy and give him hell.
He's from Florida, right? He's
from Gainesville, yep.
Well, at least there's a good punk rock scene there to kind of counterbalance that.
Yeah, that we didn't talk about music today, but we'll have to talk about it next time we have you on.
Definitely. I'll probably have some musical things to discuss. I'll have probably been to more concerts and even done a little bit of traveling. The next time we talk will be just a few short days before the 10th anniversary of 9/11, so I'm sure we'll have very much to discuss about that.
Absolutely. James, we're almost out of time. Final thoughts on anything that you like?
I think, like we've said so many times, and as you and I have basically been doing these first Wednesdays in the spring and now into the summer, and that it is kind of important to just remember to enjoy life and enjoy yourself and not get too bogged down in things, and kind of take the time to meet with friends and hug and love and all of that stuff.
Yeah. It
sounds hippy-dippy, but it's the honest truth.
Well, from what I understand, you're not too far from some beautiful country up there in the Columbia River. Mm-hmm. Man, I really enjoyed my stay up there. I got the chance to camp with someone out there a while back, and it was beautiful. So nice. Get out and experience nature. I second what James just said. It's important. I've been going to the springs here, James. If you ever get a chance to come down, we have the most beautiful springs. And while it's 98 degrees outside with humidity, we jump into these crystal clear springs that are 72 degrees. It's just beautiful. Nice.
Well, and it's getting hot here, and I'm not a huge heat fan, and I'll admit that I do tend to hide indoors the hotter and hotter that it gets.
Well, James, there's a lot to talk about that we didn't get to tonight, but as always, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it too, man. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, take care.